Kumlen in a black gemara, Sreich Chedesh Menachemov. Okay, so we started talking about using a mishamedes, a kasev, a strainer, on Yom Tov, and the issue of oil came up. And and we're talking about, you know, you're not allowed to make a temporary oil, and so on and so forth. And that was the question here. And Abeleza says that on Yom Tov you can, but not on Shabbos. But if it's suspended already, you're allowed to put the wine through there, even though it's separating the sediment and the dregs from the wine. That is all right. It's not boiter, because that's the normal way of doing it. But the Chacham is saying you're not allowed to do it even on Shabbos because of boiter. So we're up to the bottom of the page, Kuflam Medzayin on Beis, the very last two lines. The Chacham is saying you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos, and because it's boiter. Because the Gemara... And the Chacham said, even on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to be toil it either. Now, the Leza says, on Yom Tov, you can. And Chacham said, not, because the Leza holds on Yom Tov, not only Oichel Nefesh, but even Machshiri Oichel Nefesh. Even though you could have done it ahead of Yom Tov, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Chacham said, not allowed to. So he asked the Gemara, Yiboylu, Tolu, Mai, what happens, Lepoyo, you did it on Yom Tov, you did it, did you do an Issa de Rice over here, by, you know, of oil, by placing that strainer on top of the bottle, or no, maybe it's only an Issa de Rabbanon over here, because it's not a real Issa de Rice, it's a temporary oil. Temporary oil is only Osir mid Rabbanon. So you what, Omer Rabbi Yisrael told the Chayv Chav, you did it, you Chayv, Akor Mechatas. It's an Issa de Rice. Says in Momli Abayel Meata, following your logic that even a temporary, you know, a strainer on a bottle makes a cover and suddenly it's considered a temporary roof. So Kuzo Besichsa, you place a jug on a peg, now suddenly it's covering whatever's underneath it, so like it's like a temporary roof. You can tell me you did a Chiyav Reise, that a temporary oil is considered a Binyan Gomer. It's only awesome that Rabban, if anything. El of Abayel is the Abayel, who Abayel says that this whole oil here business with the strainers. We don't want you to do a thing called uvdin dechel. We don't want you to behave and do activities that are similar to the weekday. It's a mundane activity. We have a concept called uvdin dechel. It's a very wide ranging iser. What exactly constitutes uvdin dechel or not uvdin dechel? But here you're doing an activity, and this is if this is what you normally do the weekday for small amounts, and then it's not. It's an uvdin dechel. Menaket Abaye Chomer Masnita. Abaye collected together a number, a bundle of, tied together some braises, and he put them in categories. But Tony, he learned it as follows. So he says, number one is, he says that Hagoid, that's like a canteen, a leather canteen. The Hamishamedes and the strainer, Kila bed canopy, the Kise Golin, and a chair from a place called Golin is lo yase, you should not do the Shabbos. But all of these, imasa potter aval asa. All of these are merely potter aval asa. You know, so by the case of the canteen, they have a very wide opening, and then it has strings falling down. And it seems that they used to, when they used to pitch their tents, they used to fill these canteens up with wine or with milk, and they would tie it down to where they pitched their tents, open it wide, and they would open it across some of these pegs, so it acted a little bit like a roof, and the wind would come underneath it, and it would chill, the milk would chill the wine. And it's a little bit like, when you open it up wide, it sort of, and go over a couple of pegs, it sort of formed a kind of a roof, but it's very temporary. You only wanted it to chill the wine overnight. So this was only also the Rabbanon. A kilo is a canopy, and in order for a roof to be considered a roof in halacha, the roof has to be one tefach wide. So it's a canopy that doesn't slope straight away downwards. On top, it has a horizontal section of about a tefach, and then it slopes downwards. And kisei galin is a chair that comes out of this place, and they used to take apart. It's a chair made up of parts, and they used to take it apart and put it back together. All of these are only also the rabbanon. They're all oil arai, and even this chair. Excuse me, this chair is quite loose, so it's only also the rabbanon. Because remember, we learned last time that if it's tight and you just wedge it in, it's like a makar patish or a binyan or something. However, the same gemara continues. Sorry, oh lekeva. If you make a permanent For sure, that's like building, you're not allowed to do that. Chayiv chatas. Avol mita, but a bed. Let's say a bed that's lying sideways, and you just put it upwards. So now suddenly it's covering the ground underneath it. That's not a problem whatsoever at all, because all you're doing is you're not interested in being serving as a cover underneath. You're interested in sitting on top of it. So therefore, it's nothing. Kids say tarsicle is basically a folding chair. Again, it's because open and close all the time, and that's how it's meant to be. So therefore, that's not considered oil, even though it's covering underneath it. And the Mefarshim already talk about Yehuda and others. What about an umbrella? An umbrella which is meant to be open and closed all the time, because some say it's the rice that open umbrella on Shabbos. Some say it's the rabbanon. And why is it different than a chair? But over there, it's mainly meant to be used to be a roof. Here, it's mainly meant to be used as a chair that you sit on top of. So even though it's, and because it opens and closes all the time, there's no gzeilasi whatsoever. It's mutzah chatchila. Over there, according to many, it's even the Issa d'oraisa to open an umbrella on Shabbos, because you're making an oil, even though that's how it's supposed to be. Question then is, the Pasuk can talk about if the umbrella is already sitting sideways, all you're doing is lifting it up. How do we view that? Okay, then the Gemara continues. I'm thinking about a baby carriage, a baby pram, putting the cover on top. If you didn't have it all before. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Bekisa, folding chair, and the asla, and this is like a folding chair, but it's actually meant to go to defecate through, because you have a hole right there in the center. Again, mutl tzedachil, you're allowed to set them up for chatchil on Shabbos. Then it says, ain't noisin l'tluy b'Shabbos, but on Shabbos, you shouldn't, even if it's already there, you shouldn't put the wine through it to separate it from the sediment, from the dregs. Iboilu shimer mai. If you did it, what Easter is involved? Yom kana shimer chayv chatas. You chayv chatas. Because it's like, I guess we'll soon see, it's boiler. Masker of sheish, me, comedies, I don't understand. The Rabbanon says you shouldn't do it on Shabbos because mamash yechayv chatas. And yet, Rabbi Leza says, l'chatchila, that if it's there on Shabbos, not only it's not us with the ice, it's not just the Rabbanon. Where do you find such extreme views? Masker of Yeshiv, alomaloi, why? We find the other places. Hadi Ishazov, when it comes to that crown on the head that has the decoration of Yerushalayim there, and only wealthy people used to wear it. That a man mechayv chatas may hold, wear Shabbos, and in fact mechayv chatas. He says it's not a dress; it's carrying. And Rabbi Leizer shari lechatchil. Rabbi Leizer says it's completely mutter. Here you have two extremes. My, what's the story? We learned that you shouldn't go out with this thing yet. And if you did go out, you chayv chatas, because the may says you're not carrying. What do you call it? You're not carrying. This is carrying. It's not a tachshit. And Chacham say no, it's all right. But Rabban Lo say it's a you are potter because it is a tachshit. But we're worried that you might take it off to show off to other people this, the city of gold. And Rabban Lo says yoytze ish l'chatchila. This is not even a problem because he holds that the only ones who wear it are rich people, and they don't bother. Rich people don't have to show off what they have. It's only the poorer people who buy something wealthy that they have to go show everybody what they have. So we see two extremes. Says Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbanon, Rabbi says, "Osma Teir," and Rabbi says, "Mutul Chatchil." Amle Bayi said to Rabbi, "What are you comparing?" Here you have three opinions, and therefore Rabbi Lezer is not arguing with Rabbi, he's arguing with the Rabbanon. You say it's Rabbanon, I say it's Mutter. In our mission, there's no third opinions. Either Osma that I saw it's Mutul Chatchil. It doesn't make sense. Me saw Rabbi Lezer Meir. I think Rabbi Lezer is referring to a Meir. Rabbi Chayim Chatas, as the Rabbanon, he's arguing the Rabbanon. The Amri Potter Rabbi Osser. The Amalion, he tells them Mutul Chatchil. Says the Gemara, so what exactly is the Issa? When you put the wine through the strainer and you leave behind those dregs, what Issa are you encroaching here? And it's important to know because you have to give Hasra based on that Issa. And if you give the wrong Issa, then he can mock it and say, you didn't mean it seriously because nothing. Rabbi says, this is a case of Beiter. You're separating the good, the wine, from the dregs. And Abzeid Omashim Barakat because of Siv. When you have a Siv and you have, let's say, a sieve, we're talking about here a case of legumes. So the flour goes through and will leave behind is the coarse part. Same here, the wine goes through and leaves behind is the dregs. Amar Rabba said, "Rabba Kozim, that makes more sense to me. Like boiler, my darkish boiler, noit loichem manich apseilus. Boiler, you're taking the food, you leave behind the apseilus. Avochanam here too, noit loichem. That's why you're taking the wine, leave behind the apseilus." Taste already asks, it's not so. Taste already asks, we had the taste before already, but he just refers to it here. Taste already asks that In the case of Boider, you have the legumes coming through, and you have the little, in the case of Boider, the other way around, you have the little pieces that go through the whatever you have there, that tool, implement, and the good stuff stays behind. So, just opposite over here. How can we call Boider over here? But here, in this case, here, the good stuff goes through, the wine goes through, leaves behind the dregs. In the case of Boider, the legumes, it's the bad stuff that goes through, and the small little particles, and the bigger pieces, the legumes, stay behind. Exactly the opposite. How can be Boider? So Tesis Mechadish, there's a difference when we say that Boider is always taking the bad away from the good. That's what the classical case of Boider is, taking away the bad from the good, but you're allowed to take the good from the bad. So the bad from the good is the bad pieces fall through, which is the opposite of here. So Tesis, when do we say that we normally take the bad from the good? When there's a lot less bad than good, so it's easier to remove the bad from the good. So taking the good from the bad is mutter. But if the other way around, if you have a lot more bad than good, then the easiest way to separate them is by taking the good from the bad, which is what you're doing here. And we're talking about a case over here where we have a lot of junk, a lot of these dregs and sediment, and therefore this is the normal way of doing, taking the good from the bad. Anyway, says I'm going to say that what's your stop, it makes more sense like me like a sieve. Just like a sieve. Pseidless milmila, what's left behind, the coarse pieces and the flour goes through. Avhochanami here too. Or the piece we go through, Avhochanami here too. Pseidless milmila, drag straight behind. So I'm right. Tonavachesko says, we're talking a little about oil, so we're going to mention some other dinim about oil. That talus kfula layasa. You know, I'll take a talus, fold it over, and put it on top of pegs, and use it as a, serve it as a roof, and sleep underneath like it's your cubby house. Because it's as if you just made a temporary roof. You want to protect you from the sun. So the talus layasa, but you did, potter of loss is only potter, it's only the rabbon, because it's temporary. But if you had a string already attached to the end of the talus, which means that it's ready to be yanked across, spread across, or pulled back, then mutl and tatweza chatchila, you're allowed to put it on the chatchila. Sometimes we say that if you already have like a cover on a sukkah, we say that if it's covering already one tefach of the sukkah, then you're allowed to continue it the rest because you already had an oil, all you do is extending an existing oil. By a baby carriage, you have a little bit of the cover on the carriage, you can extend it. Here we're going a step further. You don't even have to have it open on the top at all. You can pick up the entire talus and put it on top of these pegs if it comes at the end with a string that's meant to pull it very easy back and forth, as if it's already dedicated for that, and it's already considered a roof even before you put it on there. Rav Kana asked Rav a question. Kila Mau. What's the thing when it comes to a canopy? Omalei, he said, that's very cryptic here. He said, not only a canopy, but also afmita osa. He said, not only a canopy, but also a bed is osa. Also a bed is osa. Didn't answer his question. so we'll see what it means. No, it's to set up a bed is osa. Then he asked him, mita mao. Okay, so what's the name of setting up a bed? Amale af kilu muteris. Not only is a bed muter, but even a canopy is muter. Kilu mita, then he asked, okay, both. What about the canopy and the bed? Amale kilu is, the canopy is usr, but the bed to set it up, mutter is mutter. What's going on here? Well, like kasha. Not a problem at all. Hard to come the first time around when he said, af mita sura, not only canopy is usr, but setting up a bed is usr. We're talking about kidim makanoi, the people in makanoi, that they over there take apart, dismantle the bed, and put it back together, and therefore it's forbidden. And, so therefore, not forget about the canopy, which is permanent, even the bed, because you're putting it together, but that bonus also, because next time you might make it, put it tightly together. So that's also. Hard to come later, that everything is muter, afkila muter, even a canopy, he's talking about Kidderami by Yecheskel. He's talking about the case of Rami by Yecheskel. And which is that you had a string attached to it, and therefore there's no problem putting a cover on it. And the case where he said kila asura, the canopy is asur, but mitum butedas, but you're allowed to assemble, you're allowed to have that bed and put it together, is talking about kididon, the way our beds are generally made, that it's already set up lying on the side, and all you're doing is placing it on its legs. So you're allowed to put it up on Shabbos, but the canopy is asur because if it has a tefach wide on top, it's like you're making oil. I saw that the canopies in the house of Rav Huna, the Me'urtu Negidi, I was there one night, I saw that at night it was set up on top of the bed, but in the morning it was lying on the floor. So I see they take it off and on. I see they're allowed to move the canopies around. You're allowed to remove it completely. You're allowed to put it back on. Yeah. So they'll put it down on the floor. So you're allowed to set it up. If you're allowed to dismantle it, you're allowed to set it up as well. Because I guess it wasn't even an oil. It wasn't even a tefach wide. A vila in a curtain. That, let's say, a curtain that you have on the front door, or mutil in a toisa, you're allowed to put it on. Because an oil is only regarding a roof, not regarding walls. We had a discussion before that later on. Again, another Gemara's, you know, if a mechitza falls down on Shabbos, if you can put the wall back up on Shabbos, because making a mechitza, a partition, is not considered an oil. So, what happens if you're in the curtain, you're allowed to set up a Shabbos, you're allowed to dismantle it. Rabbi Shmuel Shurachiyah, and Shmuel said in the name of Rabbi Chiyah, that kilas chasanim, the canopy for newlyweds. The difference is a normal canopy of a bed basically is like you go to these old houses, you have a cover on top that goes up, there are four posts that extend from the entire four corners of the bed, and you have a cover on it that covers the entire bed, and that's like an oil. However, by chasanim, it was more there for decorative purposes, so by chasanim they had only two posts right in the middle of the bed, and went up to the top, and then you had a beam going across, and over that you overhang this canopy. And therefore it draped right downwards straight away. So there's no real roof there, even a tefach wide. So kilas chasanim, because there's no roof whatsoever, forget about being temporary, there's no roof there, is mutil l'nataisa, you're allowed to set it up. Umutil l'farko, if you're allowed to set it up, you're allowed to dismantle as well. Amar Rav Sheshu Ravidia, the number of conditions that have to be met. La yamra nelosha ein begaga tefach, the width on top is not a tefach. Abel yesh begaga tefach, the width on top is tefach, asura is forbidden because it's an oil. If there's no tefach on the roof, it's not said ela she'ein bepachas mishleisha somach legag tefach. As the sides start spreading, if within three tefachim from the top, which we call love means it's still considered like part of the top. If it widens to more than a tefach, three going downwards, three tefachim, then it's considered like it's a roof. It's like you have a tefach wide on top, even though it's up, it's a little bit lower than the roof. It's, you know, the apex, it's a bit lower. It's, let's say, two tefachim down, doesn't matter. Up to three tefachim down is considered all considered part of the roof. But if so, therefore, if it's a tefach wide near the roof, it's awesome. And furthermore, when you continue sloping downwards all the way to the bottom, it cannot be wider than a tefach from the right end to the center, or from the left end to the center. Abel yesh b'shipua tefach, but if there is a slope all the way in the bottom, when it meets the bed, if there's wider than a tefach, then shipui oilin ka oilin dami. That is, and it's, in other words, it's two tefachim wide on the bottom of the bed, or then it's considered like there is an oil involved over there, which really then makes you wonder how wide can a bed be, how narrow can a bed be. Anyway, unless they had it didn't really hit to the bottom of the bed, and it was really more for decorative purposes, they could have had a whole bunch of these on top of, you know, on top to make the bed look special. Another thing, it didn't hang down below the bed. But if it hung down below the bed, a tefach, then also forbidden, because the bed then becomes like a roof, because you just draped around the bed, you just made walls all around it, and now the bottom of the bed beneath that is like a room there. And therefore, the bed itself is asr. Well, Amar Rav Sheshi said, and this is a very interesting gemara, a very interesting halacha that people are not aware of. Rav Sheshi said, "Berei the Ravidi, hai siyana, this hat made out of material. Shadi, you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. A cap with a visor in front. You're allowed to wear on Shabbos. Why would you think you're not allowed to wear a cap with a visor in front, a baseball hat or something? Why shouldn't you be able to wear it?" So, if any more of a Yidmo, we learned actually that Siyana Asa, you're not allowed to wear a hat with a visor in front. Loikash, it's not a problem. Hodi is bay tefach, hodi les bay tefach. If this visor stands out and it's straight, a tefach in front of the head, then it becomes like an oil. And every time you put the hat on your head, you have a cover there. In fact, you want it to protect you from the sun or the rain or whatever. So, therefore, it's acting like a roof. And if it's a tefach wide, that's a definition of a roof. So you have a cap that has a visor that's more than a fist width in length, then you have a problem of making a win on Shabbos. So what about sharvi beglima tefach? What about if you take a scarf or your talus and you put it over your head and it sticks out in front of your head a whole entire tefach? Why isn't that considered a roof? Of course not. So we take it back. And here we have a machlekes rishonim how to learn pshat. Ela loy kasha hodemedik hodeloy medik. So Rashi comes and says, you're right, forget this. A hat is not a roof. No roof here whatsoever. Instead, we're worried about if a hat is not tight on your head, the wind can blow it off, and on Shabbos, you'll forget that you're not a native. You'll pick it up and put it on your head, and you might be carrying 4 amos. But if it's tight on your head, then there's no issue, because it won't fall off. But Tosis brings a Ben Chananel who learns, no, we're still maintaining that a hat with a visor, a tefach long, is forbidden. But when? Only if it's flat. In other words, if you have a visor that is bent, if, you know, forward, then it's no problem. But if it's a flat visor, very stiff visor, that is flat and it suspends and it extends out of your hat more than a tefach, you're not aware than a Shabbos. And that's, many poskim can bring that down in halacha. Saying about it further, easy. Tell me exactly some nice things that Rav said. Tell me 2 things that he said about Shabbos. Something about Gadata. Because he used to say a number of things in his name in Hilchos Shabbos and something about Torah as well. Sholoch told him on Shabbos, how the time we learned, this we learned, that Goyid Bekisne, that if you have, let's say, this canteen, and with its straps, Bekisne Mutl Vezu Shabbos, you're allowed to set it up on Shabbos. In other words, if it's already set up in a special, if this canteen has a special, like a pocket or something that you... Yeah, excuse me just 1 second. Sorry. Okay, so you're allowed to have this leather canteen, and you're allowed to, what do you call it? Put it by the straps, if you have a special place for it at night to put it down. And before we said, you're not allowed to put it on these pegs, because you know, putting on the bag, peg, it looked like you're making an oil out of it. But if it's already set up, the straps are in there ready, and all that, then there's no issue whatsoever on Shabbos. We're talking about if 2 people are putting it up together, so therefore it's not very tight. If 1 person does it, then he makes it very, very tight, and he ties it over these pegs. And then he ties in the other peg, and then somehow or another it becomes more like an oil and it's asa. And Rashi says he doesn't really understand exactly what he just said. He doesn't know what it is. Interesting. So Rashi's quoting his Rebbe, this Pshat Nimur just told you, and he concludes, but the Eini Yodei Mahu. I don't know what I'm saying. Amar Abaye, so the Abaye, the Kilo, when it comes to the canopy, I feel be even canopy, even 10 people they can do it. Also, because definitely you're making it a little bit tight. No matter how many people are doing it, you're still making it a bit tight. It's like a roof. Iduch mai, what's the other din that that the Rav said? He said the other din is kira. If you have a stove in those days were portable, so it was like a keli, and a kli shemelachta liisa, which is what a stove is. You're allowed to move it if you need it. So the gufatay mekayim, you need it for something that's permitted or it's space. What about Shanishpato Achmi Akasel? One of its legs fell out. Mutu Lataukla, you're allowed to move it around. It's still considered an oven because you can still use it even on 3 legs. You know, you just have to be careful. You don't push it over. So therefore, it's still a kli shemalak. At least you're allowed to move around if you need to. But Shtayim, if it's missing 2 legs also, you can't use an oven that only has 2 legs, and therefore it's no longer a keli, and therefore it's asa. Rav Omar, Rav Zafil Chadnami Asa, even 1 leg is asa, not because of Muktzu Gzeda, we're worried, Shema Yitoka. If you're going to use the oven that's minus a leg, you might forget yourself and try to put the leg back in and you make it tight. And then it's like makab patish or like boina. But the Tanakama hold by 1 leg, since it's pretty stable, you're not going to bother, you're not going to forget, so you're not so nervous, you're not going to forget yourself. Toida, what's the case of Toida that Rav said? The Amar Rav, Asida Toida Shetashtakach Misol. Will come a time when the Toida will be forgotten amongst the Jewish people. Which is Shenemar. And it says in the Yom Boyim Num Hashem, the day will come, says Eibishter, Hashem Elokim, Vishlachti Rav Baretz, I will send out hunger, famine in the land, Loi Rav Alecha, people won't be hungry for food, Letzom Alamayim, there's a song on this, and not thirsty for water, Kiyim Lishmoya as Divrei Hashem. They will forget and be hungry for the words of Hashem. Look, see when it says in another pasuk, No, me only go from sea to sea, mitzaf mitzvah, north to east, yeshaitu, they'll wander about, levakish advar Hashem, they're looking for the Hashem's word, v'loyim tso. They're hungry, they want to hear something, some nourishment, some spiritual nourishment, but they won't find any. What are they looking for? Dvar Hashem, zu halacha. They're looking to find out halachas, and this is the Dvar Hashem, and they're not getting it. Dvar Hashem, ze haketz. The word of Hashem, this is the time when Hashem will come. Rashi says over here, Lo yadayna mehecha. I don't know why the word Dvar Hashem in any way refers to when the Ketz of Mashiach will be. And Tesis brings a pasuk that we talk about the Golos of 70 years. It says there that the Golos will end Dvar Hashem at Pi Yirmiyah. So we see when it talks about the end of Golos, we do usually refer to Dvar Hashem. Then there's a third one, Dvar Hashem, Zenavur, the word of Hashem. That's obviously prophecy. What do you mean they're wandering around to look at Dvar Hashem? What are they looking for they can't find? Amru, they said, I see the Isha Titl Kikish of Truma. Come a time when a woman will take a loaf of bread from Truma. The Tachz of the Batik and the Sea is the Batim Midrash. She'll wander around the shuls of the Batim Midrash. She's later to ask the people there, tell me, Im Temehi, the Im Tehedi. This is Tami Atar. The Ein Mavin, Im Tehedi, the Ein Mavin. And they don't know. Says what I don't understand. Im tohayri he, im tmehi, to know whether a loaf of bread or truma is tamei toyer. Behed yakasabe. It says mefedish in the Torah. It says in the pasuk. We're talking about a case of here that we have a clay oven, and there was a shedet suspended in the air where the oven becomes tamei, and she has a piece of bread. Then she wants to know whether that bread becomes tamei. Says what it says. Veja pasuk. Mekala oicher asher yochel. Any food that you will eat, if it comes across water, becomes prepared for tuma, and so on and so forth. Elalada, what she wants to know is im rishonihi v'im shnihi, the loaf of bread that was in the oven, and did it become, and there's a shadow suspended in the air, did it, the bread, and bread is sitting on the oven floor, did the bread become a rishon l'tumah, the first generation tumah, just like the oven itself, because the shadow says avatumah, the oven itself, even though the shadow didn't touch the oven, becomes a rishon l'tumah. And the question is the bread. Is this bread a rishon l'tumah? So therefore, if the bread touches any other food, they become tamei asheni. Or is this bread of tumah only asheni l'tumah because it touched the oven, which is a rishon, so it's the next generation of asheni. And then if it touches other food, nothing happens, only if it touches other tumah. So the one again, behed yiksib, it says a pasuk, called oichah sheyachu. Sorry, elayim nishoni mishnihi. They may, we don't know. So the one again, namas this needs a clean mishnah. Now we learned. Hashedet shenitza betana, you have an asheret in an oven. Hapasha betoichai. Shnia, the bread in is only a second generation. Shatanut chila, the oven is a first generation, and the bread there for a second. Says the Gemara, "Mestapka lahu hadam alir Rabbi Abba." He's doubtful regarding what Rabbi Abba said. L'Rava lechazie, because Rabbi Abba asked Rava a question: why is the oven a rishon and the bread a sheni? Since the sheretz is not touching the oven, so how did the oven become tamei? That must be. We imagine that the entire sheretz is full, the entire oven is full of shratzim, and the sheretz somewhere touches the oven. So therefore, just if the entire oven is full of shratzim, just like it touches the oven, it touches the bread. So the bread should be a rishon as well. L'chazi hay tanura k'man d'mol le'tumah, as if the entire oven is filled with bread, with the sheretz. V'tehevi pas sheinan, just like the sheretz is in contact with the oven, so too the sheretz is in contact with the bread. Amalei, he said back to him, le'amin, we don't say l'chazi hay tanura k'man d'mol le'tumah. We do not say that let's imagine that this oven is as if it's full of tumah. We don't say it's as if the oven is full of tummy, and especially there's a custom in the Torah that even though the shadow does not come in contact with the oven, if it's suspended, the oven becomes tummy, and therefore, so how does the bread become tummy? Only by touching the tanur, so the bread is second generation. The tanya, could be actually learned in a brisa, so Rava answers back with a brisa. You're right, for the Mishnah, we don't know, but for the brisa, it says, Yochol yikol akele v'tam ba'av v'klei chedes, we'll further, just like the actual oven becomes tummy, as if it touched the shadow, so too everything else inside that oven. Tamalayma, therefore, says the pasuk, kol asher b'teicha yitme, everything inside there becomes tamei, mikol ha'oichel, and then it says, what is everything inside? Only food asher ye'ochel. Now, lochid, only why food? Why not pots inside the oven? Now, we know that in order for a keli to become tamei, it has to touch an avatumah. A rishon l'tumah cannot be metamei a keli. A rishon l'tumah can only contaminate food and drink. And since it says that only food inside the oven becomes tamei, it must be that the oven itself is considered only a rishon l'tumah. And everything else is contiguous to that is a sheni. Because if everything else touches the shadow, then everything should become tamei, not just food, but even another utensil. Oichlin or a pot metamin b'avi klecheres. Only food can become tummy inside the klecheres. Ve'en keli metamin b'avi klecheres, but not other pots. Tanya, we learned. This is a song as well. Shem Yochai Omer. Chas v'sholom. So you just said that will come a time as Bryce said that Toyda should tishtakach miYisrael. Says Rav Shimon Yochai, Chas v'sholom should tishtakach Toyda miYisrael. Impossible there will ever come a time when Toyda will be forgotten by Yidin. Shneimar, it says, in fact, some people argue that today we have more people learning Toyda than ever before in history. The numbers of people going to yeshiva and kolim and so on. Shneimar, it says, the Pasuk says, it'll never be forgotten from his descendants. It will never be forgotten from his descendants. So what does it mean? A man in the kaim. So what's shot in the Pasuk we just quoted before? Yeshaitu, they'll wander about, to search for some ruchnius, a meaning in life. And they won't find it. But you just said that Torah will never be forgotten. So what are they searching for that then they won't find? So when it answers, Shulayim, so they won't find halacha brura. They won't find halachas that are 100% clear cut that nobody argues. Practically every halacha we have, that somebody has a different opinion or a variation of that opinion, or a mishnah brura, even a mishnah where no amoraim argue. Everything is arguments. B'makom echad, in one place. In every single halacha, practically there's opinions on how to understand it, how to limit it, when it applies to. That's what he means. Levakeh dvar Hashem. Because remember we learned elsewhere, dvar Hashem zu halacha. That, you know, Hisham and Hillel, they're both Elokim Chaim. You have to say Birchas HaTorah in the morning when you learn a Brais, even though it's all Shammai. But with Dvar Havaya, there's only one halacha. So when he says over here, we're looking for Dvar Havaya, we're looking for something clear, cut, unequivocal, that nobody argues. And that is very difficult to find. But actually the Maila, the Chiluk and Luchas is showing Luchas Shneis is in fact like Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli is considered darkness, yet the Halacha is always like a Talmud Bavli against Yerushalmi, because the darkness brings out a much greater level of light. By having to struggle through a Gemara with all of these questions, we come to the truth. If you just learn, you know, placid, or you learn just superficially because there are no questions, you don't really get to the bottom, to the truth. By asking all of these questions and making it totally dark, and so on and so forth, we get to the nitty gritty and we get to all the details and we get to the truth. Anyway, as Rav Shimon Yochai says, Chas v'sholom shetaka tayim Yisrael, and we're doing our little part to continue learning every day so that we're mekayim what Rav Shimon Yochai says. We'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.